Melissa in the Morning chats with career strategist and workplace expert Julie Bauke. It's Julie on the Job, now on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
A March 2025 survey of 1,200 British and American job hunters performed by Adzuna, which is a search engine for job ads, it found that 65% of job seekers have integrated AI, artificial intelligence, into their job search. So let's talk about AI hiring practices. Joining us back on the show, career strategist Julie Bauke. And Julie, what do you think of AI being part of the hiring practice from when people submit their resumes up until, I guess, they come in for that face-to-face interview?
You know, it's here. It's going to be part of every part of our lives. And so one of the most frustrating things that we all, I'm not even going to say we love to hate it, we hate it, is job search. It has never been something we've been good at. And so when a tool comes along that purports to help us maybe describe what we did in our last job, like you say, I was a project manager in an insurance company. Okay, you put in ChatGPT, what does a project manager in an insurance company do? And then you take what you get fed back and then use that in your resume, whether it's accurate or not. You might look at it and go, yeah, that sounds good. Close enough. And that's where nobody enjoys writing a resume. Nobody enjoys applying online. So we utilize tools that help us maybe what we feel tell our story more effectively. Mm. The problem is when everybody else is doing the same thing, then you look like everybody else and you're not. And so what's interesting, as you said, 2/3 of people say, yeah, we're using tools like this to apply for jobs. Well, guess what? Recruiters, 85% of recruiters say there is fraud, candidate fraud, including falsified applications, document fraud, information inconsistencies, and identity mismatches. And so it allows us to, I'm just going to say, get lazy.
You know, I was just going to say, so the moral, yeah, I would think of the story is don't take the easy way out and actually be sincere and take the time to do it and really show your best self, even if you feel like it's not up to AI standards.
You know, the first thing I would tell somebody is use it as a tool in your toolbox. So if you're looking to articulate what it is you did, go ahead and utilize ChatGPT or any of them to maybe write it for you, but then go back and use that as a framework. Use it as a starting point. And imagine that you're submitting a resume or an application that you've used AI to help you generate. Now imagine you get a call and they want to do an interview with you. Have you presented yourself in a way that you can get that you are going to be able to support what you put in there? Because sometimes we get so frustrated in job search that we just start throwing stuff out there and mm-hmm. hoping something sticks. And then we think, I'll worry about it if I get the interview.
Yeah, it's so true, Julie. And the other thing, too, is sometimes we can't add up to what it says on paper. I use this example certainly to not poke fun, because I was one of the culprits actually in this story. But when my sister was in college, she was a professional ballroom dancer. So she literally went to school for ballroom dance. Yeah, she's awesome.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
She's very cool. But she had to take certain courses, and one of the courses she had to take was some kind of writing course or something. And she was so bogged down, and she said to me, she's like, "Do you mind helping me with my essay?" And I said to her, I go, I'm gonna write what I write, but you need to go back in and I called it Annie Linify it. And what I mean by that is make it sound like you. Well, one of the times she didn't do that, and the teacher literally handed it back and said, "I'm not going to give you an F. I'm just gonna tell you whoever wrote this for you, you do it." And I mean, they knew right away. And the thing they knew right away. They were like, "You didn't write this." And she's like, "How do you know?" And it's like, "'Cause I know you." And you know, of course, this is a student, and she's fine, and everything's fine. She's out of college many years now. But I tell that story because I do worry with AI, whether it's even in school, forget even the jobs. If kids are using AI, the teachers are going to know, like, hey, this isn't what you sound like. This isn't how you talk. This isn't how your other assignments look. I know you didn't do this on your own. And I think the same goes for adults. I don't know why, though, it doesn't translate. Like, adults don't realize that you're going to get caught overusing AI, for example. Like, if you're just, right, you're not going to match what's on the paper.
Yeah, and in your sister's case, the teacher knew her. So she knew
right
her
away.
Well enough to say,
she's
yeah,
like, who wrote
you.
This for you?
Yeah. And so in that case, and so when it comes to job search, these employers don't know you. And so you either will get an interview based on someone who's not you, or you won't even make it through the filter. Because if you're using ChatGPT to describe what a project manager does in an insurance company, so is everybody else who's applying for that job. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's just it just blows me away the number of scammers and fakes there are everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere online is filled with bots and scammers and fakes. And so this whole sort of, okay, now I'm going to use ChatGPT. I'm going to say, and so you might say, okay, here's the job description that this company is looking for, this insurance company project manager. Here's the job description. Write my resume to fit this job description. Oh, I mean, that sounds like a dream come true, doesn't it? The problem is, so is everybody else.
Right.
And so you aren't standing out. You aren't being able to be differentiated. And so what's going to happen is, if you're sitting and doing that and applying for, you know, 200 jobs a month or a week or whatever, you are, it is futile. You are not going to get through the system, and then you're going to be frustrated and say, well, my resume said I had 10 out of 10 qualifications. But you got to remember, there's a hiring entity on the other side. It's either an HR department, a hiring manager, someone who's sorting through or hopefully taking that 300 people who applied and getting it down to maybe the top 5 or 10. And so how do you make it down into that number? The only way is to make sure that you are being as close to who you are authentically as possible.
And from
the employer side, I feel for them, man. I know they don't have a great process, but what you've got to do, so if you are a recruiter, an interviewer, what you're doing is they have to then, how do I discern? Maybe these are the top 10 resumes we got. We can only go on what they put in the resume. And now we're going to maybe look at their LinkedIn profile. We're going to set up a Zoom interview to really see, who is this person? Can they do what they say they can do? And so the onus goes back to the companies to determine who's the best fit.
We've got Julie Baalke here, our career strategist, and we're talking about the strategy with hiring, whether that's you applying for the job or you're hiring somebody, and how AI has now been integrated with that. More and more people are using artificial intelligence with their resumes, their cover letters, what have you. But let's talk about the hiring side of things, Julie. And you started to touch on it just a moment ago, which is, you know, how to make sure you're actually interviewing the person you're reading about on the paper, on the resume. I mean, does AI make the hiring process more challenging? I mean, certainly it gives you, I guess, people who'd be fit for the job. But does it make it more challenging to find that authentic person, to find somebody you really think would fit the culture of your business and actually do the job effectively?
It does, because once you get past that, so what's going on is once you get past that, let's say you do make it past the screening, but you did use AI to generate your materials, and what the company has to then do is almost pull you away from that to find out who you really are. So I'm going to do a Zoom interview. Now, companies are trying to streamline and make more effective and efficient their hiring process. So if I get it down to 10 people and then I say, I'm going to talk to these 5 first, someone has to do a Zoom interview. Someone has to do something that's real time, because there's also ChatGPT can help you with interviews. And there have been examples where people are doing Zoom interviews and the person, the interviewer, can tell that they're feeding the question into ChatGPT, for example, and then reading the answer that ChatGPT puts out, which is insane. So there's real disdain for that. And so what employers are doing, what they should do, is things like, okay, you know, you said that you managed a project where you were able to save the company, you know, $10 million over 3 years. Okay. Tell me about your thought process. How did you go through that? What were some of the blah? And if you, something like that, where you're asking people about something they said they did, is a lot harder to do using AI than saying, what does a good project manager do? Or how would you approach this problem? Because that's easy to feed into a tool. How should I handle a problem employee? You'll get all kinds of actually really good answers, but that doesn't tell me what you would do if you had a problem employee. And so sticking back to really what is the most effective interview tool, which is asking for specifics and examples that are only really specific to that person and what they said they did, is the best way to go about it. In fact, it's always been the best way to go about interviewing. But if you have to do that with, you know, 10 people, you've got to really dig down deep in your interview process to make sure that you are getting to the real person and getting past what they sent you. And AI does make it harder for companies to really get to what is the real you. And, you know, this article that we both read talked about, well, you do simulations and projects and this. I'm like, oh my God, companies do not have the time to do that. And then we see these articles about people saying, well, if you're going to ask me to participate in a project as a part of the interview process, you're going to pay me. And so it's the divide or the gap between knowing how the applicant presents themselves and the ability for the company to discern that with, frankly, probably people who aren't greatly qualified to discern that, because generally company interviewers aren't that great.
Yeah.
Yes, it makes the hiring process harder.
Well, the only thing I've also noticed, Julie, and the reason I say this is because I have interns constantly here on WACC, I've noticed more and more either internship or potential employers calling me because I'm a reference. Now, I don't know, and I've had interns for the last 15 years that I've been in broadcasting. I've had more calls about, like, references in the last couple of years than I feel like I did 10 years prior. Like,
combined.
And so I'm wondering if more and more employers are really relying on those references because, again, you're asking for employers to take more time out when we already have worker shortages everywhere. You're asking them to take more time out, figure out your reel, go back to the drawing board, yada, yada. So I'm wondering if there's more of an importance on references and if that's becoming a bigger deal for employers all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's a great point. That'll be very interesting to see if your experience there is consistent with others, because you're right. And this gets back to what I always say, which is the best hiring is human to human, where you can actually talk to somebody who worked with that person and said, you know, this person says they collaborated with blah, 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 and did blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
You can say, yes. Oh my gosh, they're great. Or nah, that's not exactly how it happened. But then, so all of this has a reaction no matter what. So then the next thing is, well, okay, so companies are a little hesitant to give references because they're afraid that they could get sued if they don't give a good one. And so then does that mean that pendulum is going to swing? Because that is the best way to get information about people, is by talking to people who know them. That's why this is why I always say, look, if I've got 100 resumes on my desk or in my inbox to go through, and Joe from down the hall calls me or walks in and says, hey, I saw you have a project manager job. I used to work with Fred, and Fred is fantastic, and I know he's really interested. Do you want me to do an introduction? So, like, yes, please, because now I have a real human who I trust recommending someone. That will trump a full inbox of ChatGPT or of randos every time.
I agree. I totally agree. And I mean, I think that's something also to keep an eye out for if more and more companies are going to invest in their talent. And a lot of places will hire within, But I wonder if we're going to see more and more happening when it comes to promotions and things like that, if they're going to hire within or go to people within to find others that they would reference back to. I just think we're going to see that kind of a shift. Like I said, I've just seen personally more and more reference calls for my interns in the past couple of years than I did cumulatively over a decade ago. You know, if you put all those years in TV together, way more calls for references in just the last couple of years. Julie Baucke, I always appreciate your insight. Thank you so much for talking about this, and we'll talk again next week.